All right. Hey, welcome to another podcast with Switch to Solar. My name is Brent Attaway, and I'm here with Jose, which is actually one of our clients, and he's generously agreed to sit down with us and just share his experience. Not so much with us, it is more, although that might be included, but more to give you, any of you watching, is give you an idea, like, from his perspective, what was it like researching solar? What was it like getting into it, the conversations? What was the motivation? And a lot of the things that homeowners go through when trying to convert their home to solar, asking all those questions. So Jose, thanks for meeting with me today. Appreciate you. Let's get started. I just have a few questions, and I know this is going to be super helpful for everybody. So what's your name and where are you from? Where do you live?
My name is Jose Cravo, and I'm from El Cajon, California. That's just 12 miles east of San Diego.
Okay. Yeah. I know a lot of people familiar with that area around here. What got you looking into solar, Jose, so everyone has an idea?
Well, I started looking into it a few years back, but I really wasn't burning that much energy until it seemed like the bills were going up $100 a month for every year. And I got into some real high bills, and I looked into maybe putting solar myself. Was a friend of mine was a engineer, because a lot of solar companies are pressing you all the time. They're calling, they're coming over. And that I've been looking into it probably for at least 2 years before I got started with you guys.
Okay. Yeah. What did you look into? Like, what got you started? You just Google it, or you
were I had a couple of people make some presentations, and then a friend of mine suggested maybe that I, you know, maybe we just go and do it on my own and put the solar in, buy everything and put it in on my own. And that was an option, but I really didn't want to do that. So I've been looking into it for probably 2 years before it came through. So
gotcha.
Until I got to with you guys.
Okay. Why didn't you do the DIY thing? I mean, I know there's several reasons why, but like for you, what was it?
Oh, well, I was just waiting around, and you know, he has to buy the equipment in bulk.
Yeah.
So you want to do more than one house at a time, and it's just cheaper that way. And he actually worked for Siemens.
Okay.
And so we never just got around to doing it. And then it just started pressing more and more when you're paying, you know, like big electrical bills.
Right.
I took a chance.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, from my experience with DIY stuff, because I like working with my hands. I like working on a home, you know, home improvement projects, which in reality, if you think about it, that's what solar is on your roof. It's a home improvement project in the end. If you really want to simplify it, it's putting stuff on your home to improve your energy usage, right? And so whether you purchase it or lease it or power purchase agreement, whatever it is, there's always, it's in the end, it's in, you're improving your home and hopefully your bills. So it just takes time. In other words, it's a lot of effort. I've noticed one of the biggest things, I don't know if it was for you, but are you good with electricity or electrician of any sort background?
Yeah. I also have, you know, friends that are electricians, but I've done electrical work before.
Yeah. I know that's scary. For me, that's always the thing that like scares me, because I don't know enough about it. So I'm kind of like, I'll just hire somebody to do that part. So it gets a little scary.
Yeah, there would have been somebody like I said, my buddy Ed, he's an electrical engineer, and then I got friends that we're going to, you know, put in together and give me a hand. But, you know, you have to do all the stuff. You have to get the permits. You have to, you know, come up with a plan, you know, drawing, mm-hmm. and send it into the, it's quite complicated.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we do it every single day we have, I mean, every week we're submitting hundreds of designs. And so we're really good at it. And it still is for a company or any process, it's still on average a 45 day from the time you say, I got the design ready to turn the power on. It's an average of 45 days. So some are really quick for whatever reason, permitting goes faster or something, you know, the city wasn't busy that day. And then others, I'm not just permitting, but I mean all the way to install and permission to operate the system. And then other times it's like, you know, up to 60 days, I would say. So it's a part of the process. So, okay, so now, I mean, now that you were, you said your motivation, one of the questions I had for you was what was the motivation? Was it was mostly high power bills that was the main motivation behind going solar?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And I know it's not going to go down because, you know, California is just, they don't realize what they're doing, but they're pricing pretty much everybody out of the state.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to do something if you want to stay.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's getting really, really high rates for everyone. If you haven't watched any of our other episodes, that's also in reference what Jose, what you're saying is the average rate for SDG&E when it comes to kilowatt hours. So in the end, you get charged. Well, they'll break it down as to kilowatt hours, plus they have other surcharges on top of it, transmission charges and distribution charges, things like that. But in the end, if you take all of their charges and put it together, it ends up being anywhere from like 32 to 42 cents on average. It depends on your home. That's why it's hard to say just a straight average. Like, but let's say 32 to 42 cents. And solar, even if you don't even purchase it, is anywhere, I mean, it's in the 20 cent range. So immediately you're almost cutting your bill in half. So like it's just a insane way. So Jose, to your point, it's like they're pricing themselves out of the market because even without buying solar, you can just get it and buy power cheaper without paying anything. So that's the kind of the neat part. I say paying anything, you know, like you don't have to pay out of pocket to get it installed done or upfront money to hold your account, nothing like that. It's pretty simple. Right. So I like that. I'm glad you see that. Because most people, they don't look at it like a business model, you know, like where, hey, there's power over here and, oh, I could buy power from this company because it wasn't available. I mean, now it's more and more available. So good for you. I mean, give us an idea what you did for your financing. Did you choose a loan, a power purchase agreement? What did you do?
I did a power agreement. Uh-huh. And so it's like 25 years. I believe it's 25. And I went with that, and right now I'm telling you, I'm really saving a lot of money.
Okay.
With that, it's they try everything they can. SDG&E, they change the plans around. So, you know, I was going to go with the plan where it was a tiered rate, but they won't do that if you got solar. Mm-hmm. So now they want, you know, they buy the solar for so much, and then I got to pay them more when I use the electricity at certain times. But I'm making plenty to, you know, have in the bank so that I can run my air conditioner between that 4 and 9 o'clock period, where they're charging you 39 cents a kilowatt, or even up to 59 cents a kilowatt, depends how many kilowatts you've used that month.
So
it can get really pricey.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of, Jose, is when cell phones came out and we were paying for minutes plus data plus this plus that. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of now, where power is with traditional power. It's like you got to watch every minute, you got to watch everything if you're going to keep your bill low. Is I remember that with cell phones, and it was driving me crazy. And so it's kind of like that now with power. It's like, it's just, if you switch to a solar or any energy source really, but solar in this case, right? That's just here's your predictable rate. and it's just a lot easier. You don't have to do the 4 to 9 window. I call it 4 to 9 overwhelm. You're just like, oh no, turn off everything. Don't use the laundry. Don't use any appliances, because it just stacks up fast. You don't realize it. So, yeah. Okay. Well, cool. You said savings. I mean, without getting into detail, I don't want, like, you don't have to share personal information if you don't want with your bill amounts, but what would you say percentage savings are you seeing right now?
I'd say at this point, this month, last year, I probably paid about $400 in electrical.
Okay.
And so I'm saving about $300 this month.
Woo. There you go. Yeah. So,
and I'm banking for when it gets hotter to, you know, use my air conditioner, because I live in, you know, in a pretty warm area.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so,
yeah, cause you're further in east, so it gets a little warmer. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. That's awesome. That is such a good example of why even consider solar. And then plus it, so this is your first summer then, right? With solar.
Right.
You just got done with your permission to operate when? How many?
January.
Yeah. So it's for everyone watching. We're in the last day of June right now. So he was installed in January and everything's on, and he's seen a few months of savings, and now he's about to hit his best savings. So that's great, Jose. I'm excited for you, man. That's always the first best months of savings. Is that first summer. Good. Give us an idea for everyone watching when you say it, your banking power for the, so they understand that part.
Well, what happens is when I'm not using the power and it's going back out to SDG&E, to the electrical company, they're buying it from me, I believe at 30 cents a kilowatt, and it might be 29 cents. And then, so I have those kilowatts, which are 29 cents built up right now. I think I have 266 kilowatts.
Okay.
Built up last time I looked, and I can use those whenever I want. But then again, like I said, you know, sometimes I might have to use 2 kilowatts or, you know, maybe a kilowatt and a half to pay for their kilowatt between 4 and 9.
Yeah.
Because that's the way they worked it to get you, you know, they wouldn't let you do the tiered plan where you were not ever using any of their high priced kilowatts because you're making them and you're not using them.
Right.
But they won't let you use the tiered plan to
bank them.
Well, if you have solar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, it's all about, you know, government and the electrical companies working together, because I guess they thought they were losing money.
Yeah, no, I've talked to quite a few people. Everyone tends to have a different perspective when it comes to utility companies and government and so on. And there's certainly some, it gets heated. When it comes to, and then others not so much, right? But like it's not the most pleasant thing when the bills just keep stacking up and you have no control over it. I shouldn't say bills keep stacking up, the rates keep hiking up and you have literally no control over it besides don't use your power when you need it, which is between 4 and 9. Like the majority of families use more power between 4 and 9, which is, they were trying to say stop doing that by creating an incentive for that, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we all know how government works. So the electrical company can afford to have a lobbyist. And me and all the people that live in El Cajon, we couldn't get together to afford that. You know, we could probably go up there and maybe have lobbyists. But see, they're getting some benefit out of the other electrical company lobbyists. And, you know, how are we going to benefit the government, even though they're supposed to be working for us, right?
Right.
So that's how, you know, they can change the rate structure, the regulation, so that they can say, well, you know, we're losing money and we need to do this or whatever. So,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, it on the surface, it just looks like out of control craziness. And then in the end, it does, I agree with you, it does come down to a lot of the political schemes of trying to make things work for everyone, which tends to work for the government and the city a lot. Or not the city, the utility. All right, well then, back to your savings and power bill and what you're doing now. The for everybody like looking into solar now, and you have experience looking into it for 2 years, having a couple presentations, even considering DIY. I mean, what would you say to people now based off your decision? And it doesn't have to be the same decision you made. I just mean like, what would be your advice you give to somebody that's thinking, okay, I'm looking into this like Jose as well. I've been looking into some time now. What would you tell them?
I would recommend to them to go through switch to solar. And then if a guy like Bennett can come up and explain it to them that, you know, this is how, you know, you can get a loan, you can get this, you can buy it. You know, you can go with the, like what I did with the
PPA.
The power agreement. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you do, you're going to end up probably saving some money. And it just seemed much easier when he was over here explaining it to me. As a matter of fact, I had some of that brand new stuff from SDG&E that he hadn't seen yet. They had just mailed it to me about how they were going to change their rate structure to battle against the solar, because, and it was explained to me by Bennett that like in Hawaii, it's almost impossible to get solar now because you're going to be paying as much to have your solar, you know, you're going to be paying like $50, $60, $70 a month. And, you know, like right now I'm paying $10 to, you know, be hooked up to the grid. Right. Well, they want to end that here one of these days, but California hasn't let them do it yet. But once they hit a certain threshold of people buying solar, then they want to, you know, start cutting you out or whatever, you know. So that's one other reason why I decided to go right then, so that I would get the you know, grandfathered in at that time at the $10 for the hookup. And, you know, you got to pay them no matter if you use energy or not, because it's hooked up to your house.
Right.
And so he explained all that stuff to me and then kind of explained the different rate programs that they have. And then I didn't know if I was on the right one or not. And I was able to call him back, and he referred me to another to SDG&E, but they don't want to help you out. And then they referred me to California. I can't remember the exact name of the company, but then Bennett came back and he told me, you know, he thought I was on the right one that I should be on. So for, you know, me being home at the time I'm home and everything else. So, but for some reason I'm, you know, like even though we've had some over 100 degree days and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to bank on even on those days, extra energy. And also I don't really get that brownout that I would get before, because usually, because I'm making my own power here, I guess.
Okay.
Yep. That I'm not at the end of the line or whatever, how that SDG&E sometimes doesn't give you 120 volts or whatever.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I noticed that is a little bit different. So everything runs a little bit more efficient if it's getting the right voltage.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're able to, cause it's coming right into your home when you're using it. Right.
So, right.
During the day. So that's great. Yeah. Everyone watching, or listening, Jose is referring back to when he's talking about banking again, is in locking in the rate, like Hawaii, for example. For a while, they went on a spree to get solar. It was shutting down their utility companies, essentially. There was no way the utility company could maintain their grid with how many people. It was offset. It was an imbalance. And so Hawaii basically priced everybody out of the market, so it wasn't worth it. You could still do solar, it just wasn't worth it. You know, it just was like, why would I switch to that if I'm doing it primarily for savings? And so it makes sense. And now you're locked in, so that's good. It's like about $10 right now, the connection fee. So that's good. Yeah, you're a smart dude. You sounds like, yeah, I mean, all the stuff that you've researched with solar, you understand the rates, you understand tier and time of use. It sounds like you've done a lot of research and you understand. And even then, solar is paid right now, saving, you said, $300 just this month, or the last month, let's say. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Probably, what would you say you think you're going to be saving over the summer, just as a hypothetical here?
I figured, I thought I was going to save in total during the year. When Bennett, we tried to work it out, he said about $850. But I think maybe if things are going the way they're going right now, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, maybe $1,000 off of last year's bill.
Yeah.
Maybe more. I don't know. I just...
time will tell.
You know, the one thing I'm going to tell you is I did things to keep my house a little bit more insulated than... Okay. You know, and breathing in the attic, cause the attics will get real hot. And some of my neighbors have really high bills. I mean, so that might help too, cause there's a lot more neighbors that are hooked up with solar.
Yeah.
So we're getting a better power, cause they're putting out, you know, power back into the grid also.
Right.
Anyways, the one thing that I noticed, that my attic is probably about 8 degrees cooler because of the solar panels.
Okay.
They're basically covering probably 40 to 50% of the roof that was exposed. So they're, instead of the radiant heat radiating into the attic, it's making power instead of doing that, just shading the roof.
Right.
And so that keeps the house cooler too. So I noticed the air conditioner doesn't run as much. So yeah. It's all been better than I thought.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic that you're noticing all of these things, because it really isn't something you can predict all the way with when you put panels on your roof and how much heat it's going to reduce. And so we do our best, because in the end, and again, for everyone listening too, and Jose understands this at this point with all his research, I'm sure, is you're guessing with panel. I mean, it's a very educated guess, but you're guessing how many panels you need on your roof to generate and replace, at least ideally, if it makes sense, at least 100% of what of the power you were generating or using, I should say, through your traditional utility. So for example, 10,000 kilowatt hours over a year's time, let's just say you were using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month on average, then we need a system that will at least generate that over the year's time. And then going back to Jose's point, it's then if you don't use all of them during the day, then it's banking them. And then when you need them, you're pulling them out and you're getting that good, way lower rate. But now what you're saying, Jose, is like additional benefit is, not only that, did we replace, it's also reducing the amount of power I even need. So it's almost like you're getting a little extra percentage there in your case. I know that's not everybody's case, but in your case, it seems like it's saving you even extra money just from the heat in the attic. So you were saying you insulated your home in the attic more? Is that what it was, or your home in general?
Well, the whole home in general is better insulated. Like when I put my roof down, I put extra insulation underneath the tiles and the attic, the windows, the walls, everything. You know, where I could do it, I put you know, reflective roof on in the back of the house, then that lowered the energy cost quite a bit, because, you know, I have an open beam ceiling and I didn't want to, you know, there's two ways of doing it. You can put insulation underneath the roofing, and it gets kind of expensive, or you could put it in and ruin your, you know, tongue and groove open beam ceiling.
Okay.
And, you know, the look of that, that's why you got it.
Right.
And so I was able to get a reflective coating, and that saves a lot of energy. I mean, okay. Because before the roof, when it's 105 out here, or even over 100, anything over 100, and it's beating straight down on it, the roof would be probably 156 degrees, you know, when you temperature it. Uh-huh. After you put the roofing reflective roof coating on it, it's like 80.
Oh, wow, yeah. So that alone is a massive difference just with
generating heat.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but with that said, my bill would still be like $600 a month during the prime, you know, and some of my neighbors were paying $800 and $1,200.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So even with after you're saying you made those improvements and still the bill's high, better but high, right. And then now with solar, it's like just dropped dramatically.
Right.
Okay. Cool. That's great. That's a great story, Jose. I mean, like I've talked to several people about it, but you have like you're a good example of somebody who one does their due diligence, considers doing it themselves, realizes the headaches, maybe let's call it. I know there's other things, just like, oh, maybe I don't want to. And then insulated your home, did all the energy savings things that you're supposed to do. And then like to, you know, before you just go and throw panels on it, you know, and hope it solves your problems. And then you did the panels and now it's like all working together. So that's a full 360 example of somebody doing everything you need to. So good job on that.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up. Jose, is there anything else you want to add or say?
I just want to give Bennett a shout out, because like I said, without him spending the time, mm-hmm. and, you know, he was very thorough in his explanation. And yeah. whatever he told me, it pretty much all was, you know, came through, you know, and so I want to give him a shout out. He did a great job.
All right.
And also, I'm with Sunrun.
Yep.
And they've been very good to me also.
They're so awesome. Yeah. I agree.
And the only hold up in the whole thing was they had the panels up ready to go. It seemed like it was like 2 weeks, and I had to wait almost 30 some days for the city inspector to come and say you can flip the switch. So the only hold up was the city of El Cajon.
Right. Yeah.
Like you said.
I appreciate you, the shout out. I know Bennett will appreciate it. He'll see this, and I always tell him, because he gets a lot of shout outs. And then, but yeah, no, you're right. I think that's a good example. We try to set expectations based on the averages and cities and stuff, because if we did put it this way, Jose, like we could easily say, yeah, everything will be installed within 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But if we said that, you think it's going to be turned on in 3 weeks. So we try to say it'll be installed, but it'll be turned on in around 45 days. That's kind of how we say it, because it's a big surprise of how long it takes from the time us as a dealer and our installation partners are done with our job. And you're thinking, why can't I use it? You know, but it just has to go through that process. So that's good for people to hear too. I'm glad you brought it up. All right. Well, let's thank you so much, Jose. I appreciate you. And we'll wrap up. So thanks for being part of this episode, and I'm sure all our viewers are appreciated. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.